Okay, so where are we holding?
We are Masech et Sanhedrin, Kaf Dalet, Amud Bet. We are. Where are we? Oh, where we're holding? Right. So we finished. I think, maybe. Unless anyone wants to review it, we finished. The proof that answered the question. What was the question? What was the proof and what was the answer? Anyone? The question was... Yofi. Wonderful. What does Yavi Yochanan think of before what?
Before
Gemardin. Yofi. Before Gemardin. What does he hold? What was the answer?
There's
no argument before. He only holds the argument is after.
Third question.
And where did he learn it? Hold on, where did he learn it from? He learned it from Rava. Wow, very impressed.
How he learned it.
How he learned the Talmud, or what he learned. So far, until we got there.
So we covered Rishuli.
So you had a question. You had a question.
We covered Rishuli because I wasn't here yesterday.
Oh, you weren't here yesterday. Oi, Tov. Yesterday, Tov, we moved mountains yesterday.
Well,
want me to move them all back again?
Yeah, Shalom Bay is more important.
So Abraham's going to give a class on how we learned. Tov, I'll give you a brief.
Okay.
I think, like this. Reish Lakish says, hold on. So, Reish Lakish says like this. Reish Lakish says, what is our Mishnah talking about? Our Mishnah gave us two laws. You can retract if you agree to bad judges, and you can retract if you agree to a lesser oath. When is that situation that you're allowed to retract? Reish Lakish says, it's before the Gemara Din. After the Gemara Din, no one allows you to retract, says Reish Lakish. But before the Gemara Din, that's when there's a machloket, and that's when our Mishnah is talking about. The machloket between Rabbi Meir and Hachamim is in the situation before Gemara Din.
Okay.
Gemara then said, Rabbi Yochanan says, after Gemara Din. After Gemara Din is machloket. So the Gemara said, wait a minute. After Gemara Din is Machloket. But what about before Gemara Din, Rabbi Yochanan? You told us after Gemara Din, but what's your opinion before Gemara Din? We don't know. The statement of Rabbi Yochanan, it's not clear. Could be either. Could be that before Gemara Din, he also agrees on Machloket. Or it might be no. He disagrees before Gemara Din and says, no, the Machloket only takes place after the Gemara Din. So we don't know. So the Gemara says, so, Tashma, come learn the answer by learning Rava.
Mm-hmm.
Rava gave a halachic statement to his students, which we say is based on Rabbi Yochanan. There's a question which I haven't yet answered, which is why we say it's based on Rabbi Yochanan and not based on Reish Lakish. But presumably he's learning from Rabbi Yochanan. Right? He holds by Rabbi Yochanan, he doesn't hold by Reish Lakish. Because if we said, just in brackets, for those who want to twist your minds a little bit more, if we say that he's not holding by Rabbi Yochanan, he's holding by Reish Lakish, then it's not proof at all. We use this to say he must be holding by Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore it has to fit with Rabbi Yochanan. But we could have just said the other way. No, he's holding by Reish Lakish. But we're not saying that. So presumably, we're not saying that because he gave a statement of halacha, and halacha would have to follow Rabbi Yochanan in this case. Otherwise, his proof wouldn't help us to define Rabbi Yochanan, because we just say he's not going by Rabbi Yochanan. We said our answer is he goes by Rabbi Yochanan Aliba de Rabbanan. We could have just said he goes by Reish Lakish Aliba de Rabbi Meir. That also would have worked, right? But obviously, here the Gemara has an underlying understanding that he has to. That it's a valid proof Rabbi Yochanan's position. So that's a question to ask to Rabbi Yishua Cohen or Eliyahu Navi, whichever comes first, as to why we don't go that route, why we just assume that Rava's going up to Rabbi Yochanan. Tov, anyway, the Gemara says that Rava is going by Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore what Rava's statement has to fit in with Rabbi Yochanan's Shita. So let's look at the statement of Rava and see which version it goes better with. We said Rabbi Yochanan has two possibilities for before Gemar Din. After Gemar Din, we know what he holds. After Gemar Din, he holds the Machloket. But before Gemar Din, we don't know what he holds. So there's two possibilities. Either he holds, there's also Machloket, or he holds, there's no Machloket. And two options. There is a Machloket or there isn't. So let's run Rava's statement through the mill on both of those and see which one comes out correct, see which one fits. So what did Rava say? So Rava said that lifnei gemar din yachol azova. Rava said before gemar din he can retract, and after gemar din he can't retract. So what did Rabbi Yochanan say? So Rabbi Yochanan said, after Gemar Din there's Machloket. So fine, we're not interested really in that bit, but that fits. After Gemar Din he can retract. After Gemar Din, sorry, he may not retract. So it's like Rabbanan. Before Gemar Din, he can retract. He can retract. What did Rabbi Yochanan say? So it depends what Rabbi Yochanan says about before Gemar Din. If we say Rabbi Yochanan says before Gemar Din that there is no Machloket, and everyone agrees that you can retract, then that fits, because it fits with Rava. Rava says you can retract, and so does Rabbi Yochanan. He also says you can retract before Gemar Din, so it fits. And after Gemar Din also fits, because after Gemar Din, Rava says you can't retract. The opinion of Chachamin is also you can't retract after Gemar Din in the Machloket. So Rava has a valid corresponds to Rabbi Yochanan. But if you go the other way on Rabbi Yochanan, you say Rabbi Yochanan bein zul bein zul yesh machloket, there's a machloket in both cases, then how does that fit? Because Rava says before Gemar Din you can retract, and after Gemar Din you can't retract, in which case it turns out that Rava is going like Rabbi Meir beforehand and going like Chachamim after, and he can't go by both. Can't choose to go by Rabbi Meir before Gemar Din and then switch and go by Chachamim after Gemar Din. So it can't be that Rabbi Yochanan holds Ben Zu Ben Zu.
Unless he's talking about one being the judges and the other being.
No, because the Mishnah is written in both forms.
Mm.
So the statement goes on the Mishnah, the entire Mishnah. But you're right, you could split it if it was a different law. But here the we're saying it goes on both. So you can't follow Rabbi Meir before and Chachamim after. And therefore, it must be the first position which we said, which is that there's no Machloket before Gemar Din. The Gemara says, Shmamina. Indeed, it's right. Learn from this. So that's the correct opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. We can learn from that statement of Rabbi. Wonderful. Let's move on and get to the end of this Gemara. Shlach lei Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista. Le Rav Nachman bar Yaakov. So Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista sent the following question to Rav Nachman bar Yaakov. And not to get confused with Rav Yaakov bar Nachman. He said like this, Yilhamdenu Rabbeinu לפני גמר דין מחלוקת, או לאחר גמר דין מחלוקת. ילמדנו רבנו, teachers רבנו, or teacher, לפני גמר דין מחלוקת, או לאחר גמר דין מחלוקת. Rabbeinu, he's everywhere. Right? So the question is the machloket before Gemara Din, or is it after Gemara Din? Right? What's he saying? Lamdeinu Rabbeinu, lifnei Gemara Din machloket, or lachar Gemara Din machloket? Is the Mishnah, right, it's a question. Bidiyot, is it according to Reish Lakish or according to... Because now we know Reish Lakish holds only before, and Rabbi Yochanan holds only after. That there's a machloket, right? So now the question is, which one? Which one do we hold by? A halacha. That was the question Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista asked Rav Nachman bar Yaakov. What was the answer? Oh, sorry. Before we get to the question, there's a second question. The halacha kidivrei me. And is the who does the halacha follow? Because you've got two questions now. One, do we follow Reish Lakish or Rabbi Yochanan in order to know where the machloket applies? Is it before or after? And now you know that, you still don't know who's right in that machloket. Do we go by Rabbi Meir or Chachamim? So you need to know both questions. Or do we follow Rabbi Reish Lakish or Rabbi Yochanan? And when you know that, then you have to know, who do we follow in the machloket? Do we follow by Rabbi Meir or Chachamim? Yeah? Make sense? Not halakha. That's a Gemara where we learn Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Rabbi Yochanan's opinion we learn from Rava. But actually who we follow as halakha, even in this Gemara, there still existed Reish Lakish's opinion. Reish Lakish's opinion was still a live opinion at that time that Rava was giving his view on Rabbi Yochanan, if you like. So to speak, you could look at it that way, you could. I said it must be that the halakha follows him otherwise, but that was just my explanation. Okay, so that's the question of the Gemara. Shalach Lei, he sent to him, sent him an answer. What's the answer? Lacha Gemara Din Machloket. There's a machloket after halacha kedivrei chachamim. So who's that? The machloket is after Gemara Din. That's Rabbi Yochanan and halacha kedivrei chachamim. And we follow chachamim, which is bidyuk exactly the same way we learned our Rava. So the halacha is the same we learned from Rava, right? Rabbi Yochanan and Liba de Rabbanan. We follow Rabbi Yochanan, and then in the Machloket we go a Liba de Rabbanan. We go by the opinion of Rabbanan. Okay? So what does that mean? That means if we have a case of three cattle herders or one father being a judge, and that we accept, two litigants accept it, and they have a court case. So what happens? So during the court case, can anyone retract? Huh?
Yeah.
Yes. We can. All everyone allows you to retract before.
Before Gemara Din.
Before Gemara Din. No dispute. After the Gemara Din, we can't. Why not? Because we go by Rabbi Yochanan and Chachamim, who say you cannot. After Gemara Din, you cannot retract. Which is exactly what Rabbi says. Okay. Top. Good?
Mm-hmm.
Yofi. Rav Ashi says like this. Hachi shalach lei. This is what he sent to him. Not like the first version, a different version about what the actual question and answer were. So let's see the second version. Ve'etein lacha machloket or b'machul lacha machloket. Oi. What's Eten Lacha Machulacha? Where did that come from? Right, let's go ahead back to there. Eten Lacha Machloket, a long time ago, in a place far away, we said there also was a dispute about whether, which we never resolved. Right? Did our Mishnah, was it talking about a case of a ten lacha or machul lacha? What's the difference between a ten lacha and machul lacha?
One is actually physically giving you money, and the other one is basically writing off the debt.
Writing off the debt, right. So the claimant says, I will write off the debt, I'll forgive you the debt. I won't ask for it back if you win. And the other one is, the claimant says that, and the defendant says, I'll give you the money back if you win. Two different cases. Okay, so we don't know where the machloket was. Two different opinions. Rabbi Yehuda and someone else. As to which one it was. Rabbi Yehuda, it was the same one. Rabbi Yehuda said, Machul Lacha. Rava said, Eten Lacha. And Rabbi Yochanan, we didn't know which one he was holding by. Or was both. No, Rabbi Yochanan says both. So anyway, but we didn't know which one we hold by. Which one is our Mishnah talking about? So that was the question. So that was question number one. The halakha kedivrei mi. And then once you know that, who did the halakha follow? Right? First of all, which case are we talking about? Is it a case of machul lacha or a case of a ten lacha? And once you know which one, who are we following? Rabbi Meir or Hachamim? Okay. Shalach Lei, so he sent him an answer. Ve'eten lacha machloket. Only in the case of a ten lacha, I'm going to give you the money. So if the machloket is in the case of only a ten lacha, so we're saying therefore in the case of machul lacha, no machloket. Only a machloket in the case of a ten lacha.
Because there's no physical exchange of money.
And therefore, what's the opinion?
There's except for a Kenyan.
Everybody agrees there for what?
That it's non-binding. Because, except for a Kenyan, which a Kenyan is binding, it is not valid.
Yes. No, a ten lacha. We're saying in the case of a ten lacha, that's where the machloket is. But in the case of machul lacha, there's no machloket. Why not? You can't retract. Nachon, correct. Because it doesn't matter. You can't, whoever you said you can. Why?
But
a ten lacha, that's the machloket. Well, learn it. That's where the machloket is. In machul lacha, no machloket. Everybody agrees. But what does everybody agree? Everybody agrees that you cannot retract. You're stuck. Why are you stuck? Because you've got no reason to retract. You don't need a valid Beit Din to be machul lacha. So if you agreed three shepherds, you've got no reason now to say, I want to change my mind. You don't need to have three judges in order to forgive a debt. In the case of a ten lacha, you've got an argument that you need three judges in order to transfer the money. And that's why you can retract. But you don't need that, so you can't retract. So in the case of a machul lacha, everybody agrees you cannot retract. Everybody agrees you cannot retract in the case of a machul lacha. So the machloket is in the case of a ten lacha. And who do we follow in the machloket? Halacha kidivrei hachamim. Like the hachamim who said, you cannot retract.
So they're only talking about when they're physically exchanging the money.
In the case of physically exchanging money, you cannot retract. So it turns out that in both cases, you can't retract. In the case of machul lacha, you can't retract. And in the case of eten lacha, halacha is you can't retract. Because a halacha is, because there is a machloket in the Mishnah.
Yeah, you can.
That you can or you can't, but we hold by the... Why?
No, first.
What's the first?
You have to give.
Now we say machul lacha That's not the first. It's a different case. Machul lacha. So, we say everyone agrees. cannot retract. Right, and in the case of eten lacha, that's the machloket.
We go to the
Rabbi Meir versus Chachamim. Right, that's the case of the machloket. This is the case of our Mishnah. This is our Mishnah. This is what our Mishnah is talking about, and that's why we've got this problem. But who do we follow? We go by Chachamim, who say you cannot retract. So it turns out, both in the case of Machol Lacha and in the case of Eten Lacha, it comes out the same answer, halachically. Whether you've got a case of a Machol Lacha situation or a Eten Lacha situation, and you have three cattle herders, and you want to retract, you want to change your mind, you can't.
So this is before Gemara Din?
So then, that's a very good question. So now, hold that question for a second.
And the other question is, so both, when party says, I will forgive the debt if you win, or the second one is, I will give you the money?
Yeah.
If you win?
Yeah.
So they're both saying...
Who's both?
Rabbanan are saying that you can't retract. Cannot retract.
Yes.
Now, is that before Gemara Din or after Gemara Din?
So we'll come to how it fits in Gemara Din in a minute. Tov, okay. So that's the law for Eten Lacha and Machul Lacha. Okay. Let's just finish the end of the Gemara, and then we'll look at your question. We'll be open. Okay. Basura Matnehache. In Surah, we're going to say, and then Pumpadita. Surah and Pumpadita were the two main centers of learning in Babel, but certainly during a large period of the Babylonian exile. Surah and Pumpadita, they usually had arguments. Why not? Two Jews, three arguments. Top. Besura Matnehache. And so they taught this as follows. Right, like we just learned. They taught it like this. That's what they taught in Surah. But Pumpadita Matnehache, but in Pumpadita they taught differently. They taught like this. How do they teach in Pumpadita? They taught like this. Amar Rabbi Chanina bar Shlemiah. Right? Shelchu le mi bei Rav Lishmuel. They sent a question from Rav's academy to Shmuel. Ilamdu Rabbeinu, teachers for our teacher, Rabbeinu, lifnei Gemara Din, v'kanu miado mai. Lifnei Gemara Din, v'kanu miado mai, shalach lavu ein lacha kinyan klum. Tov. So before we get to that question, let's hold that question. Right, that's going to be a shlav of a couple of different things. But let's go back. We said the first version of what we learned was before and after Gemara Din, right? And what do we learn? We learned before Gemara Din, a halacha followed Rabbi Yochanan and Levi Rabbanan. Rabbi Yochanan held before Gemara Din, no machloket, everybody agrees you can retract. And he held after Gemara Din, that is the machloket, but we hold a Aliva de Rabbanan, where you cannot retract. Right? So the footnote tells me that most poskim, but not all, most poskim learn this. Additionally to this, they both apply. There's two sets of rules. they're fine. They don't interfere with each other, and they both apply. Meaning, first of all, you have to see what type of case you've got. Have you got a nuful lachat case, or you've got an attend lachat case? Actually, truth is, doesn't really matter. They're both, you can't retract. But when can you not retract? So, that is, apparently then is talking only here, after Gemara Din. But before Gemara Din, you can retract or not, is a question. Question is, before Gemara Din, can you, so probably not. I'm just working out now as I'm talking about it. What happens before Gemara Din? Which one should be, you can't retract? How does it work? Because Rabbi Yochanan had to be talking about a case of either Eten Lacha or Machul Lacha, right? They're the only two options, right? Had to be a case that he was talking about. So which one was he talking about?
Well, okay, in one case, he's saying that
before Gemara Din, you can retract.
Right, except for one thing. Kenyan.
Yeah, hold on to the Kenyan. Before we get to the Kenyan. Just a...
If he...
When?
Before
Gemara Din, you can retract. So, what are we at? So then we say that all that this argument, this entire argument over here, where you cannot retract in either case, is only talking about after.
Okay.
But before Gemara Din, everybody agreed in any case that you can always retract. Doesn't matter where the full of that camera. That would seem to make sense. So then the Gemara, so now, let's see the query in the Gemara. Let's see if this is the same query. So they asked him Pompadita the question. Rav asked Shmuel, teach us what happens. Lifne Gemara Din. Yeah, what happens before Gemara Din? So he's asking the question before, he's over here. Right, we've got. He's asking before the Gemara Din. Can you retract? That was the one that we weren't sure.
They said we made the kingdom.
Because so far, what we got? In the first case, we said you can't retract. Everybody agrees in a ten lacha and machol lacha, you can't retract. And after Gemara Din, we know you can't retract. So this before Gemara Din is the only one that we're not sure about that. Right, we're not sure about this before Gemara Din that you can retract. Because that's the, how does that work before Gemara Din that you can retract?
Well, you have four variables.
Yeah.
One is, if no money is being exchanged, anyway, I will write up the debt. Then you can retract because there's nothing for the court to do.
No, apparently not. You can't retract.
You can't retract.
You
cannot retract.
Cannot retract.
Before the Din. Before Gemara Din.
Well, we don't know. We don't know when that's applied. We haven't transposed before and after Gemara Din onto that yet.
Now, then the second one is when money is actually being exchanged.
Right.
Then the other variable is before and after a Kenyan is made.
So Kenyan we haven't got to yet. Kenyan is not, we haven't mentioned, no one mentioned a Kenyan yet. So far on this staff, no one's...
Okay.
Yes, that is. So this is the question. If we can try to understand what the question is. Lifnei Gemara Din, what happens before the Gemara Din? Vekanu miyado. But also, he did have a kinyan. So what are we saying? What's the difference here? Before commanding, apparently we can retract. Right, we learned that from the halakha, the last halakha we learned. It said like this, before the commanding you can retract. After the commanding you can't retract. Right, we're learning from this box now. Before commanding you can retract, after commanding you cannot retract. Why can you retract before commanding? Because there's no, nothing's decided, no stand. No one's, there's nothing to undo yet. Change your mind. But what happens if you make a kinyan?
Then you're bound.
You make a kinyan, maybe that changes the rules.
A kinyan is
yeah. A kinyan can be many different ways. This is a kinyan hakaah, lifting something. All it, a kinyan shows that, that you've acquired ownership. You've done something to acquire the ownership. You've taken it, you've used it, you've lifted it. You've done something that shows it's yours. So you're not the. So you did a kinyan. Meaning what happened? In our case of the Mishnah, we have three cattle herders. And one litigant says to the other, I think you owe me money. And he says, no you don't. He says, Tom, let's resolve it here and now. You three guys, come here. You're going to be our bait in. Okay? Yeah, fine with me. Go for it. You three, you're the bait in. Three cattle herders. Right. So before they decide their verdict, everybody agrees that you can retract. You know what? These three guys are idiots. I'm not listening, I don't care. I'm not going to accept what they say. I'm pulling out now. Fine, everybody agrees you can pull out. But if you get the three cattle herders to sit there, and the other guy's smart and doesn't want him to pull out, so let's just make an agreement on this, right? A kinyan, right? That these three, whatever they say, we're going to be bound by it and we can't pull out. Right? You agree it? Yeah, I agree it. And he makes a kinyan. So now he's made a kinyan. Now what happens? Can he now pull out? You know, I agree I made a kinyan, but they don't know what they're talking about. They're idiots. Right? Can I pull out now?
No, you can't because the kinyan is stronger.
So what's the answer? So the Gemara says the answer is Shlach Lahu. Sent him. He sent him the following answer. Ein lacha kinyan klum. There is nothing after a kinyan klum. Ain a hal a kinyan klum. What does that mean? Sorry, I was just trying to see in the Rashi though. Rashi doesn't have anything. Shalab, he sent you, there's nothing after Kinyan, meaning after Kinyan, you can't do it, it's agreement, you're stuck, you can't retract. You can't. There's no going back after Kinyan. So, okay. Sorry? No. Shalach. Yeah. Shalach. No. Yeah, it's not. It happens. Yeah. It's quite common, but. They asked him. Yeah. They sent him to Shiloh by email.
So.
By funky mail.
With a Kenyan, if you hand a woman a ring and she accepts it, you're stuck.
You've got to get a get. Person has to be very careful. There's been a situation of kids in the playground playing marriage. And they have to go and get a get. It's over bar mitzvah.
I was thinking more like baby strollers and diapers.
Kenyan's a Kenyan. Right? It's valid and binding. I was nearly a witness to such a wedding in Sambuki.
Oh, what?
Sambuki.
Where is that?
Is it Sambuki? The corner of Yafo and King George, the coffee shop. What's that called? Coffee shop there? Is it Sambuki? It's one of them. So I'm there standing, waiting for my, I know what it was, Hafuch, whatever it was, ice cafe, whatever it was. And the two servers behind the counter, one's male, one's female. Man, teenagers, 16, 17, 18, I don't know how old they are. And they're messing around, they're joking and stuff with each other, and she's trying to pour the thing, and this guy, he's playing with a metal, piece of tin foil, or I don't know what came off, and he rolled it up, and he made it into a ring, and he grabs her hand, and he says, come, Anima Kessi Rai, Anima, she, who got, flicked her hand away, said, what are you doing, you idiot? Right? And then they look at me, because I've got to keep her on, until I give them sack. On whether that he just got married. I said, well, I don't think there's two witnesses, and it doesn't look like a pruta.
It's not a pruta.
I don't know. Hopefully, I didn't just officiate at my first wedding. She didn't accept it either. So there was a lot of factors, right? You have to be careful with this stuff.
Right, but next time, if he invites her out to a jewelry shop, she gets to pick out a ring.
Yeah, it's going to cost him a lot more. Good morning, Rabbi Akiva. Okay, Yofi. So that was the end of that sugya. That was quite a nice, juicy piece of Gemara. Everybody be very proud of their learning. Yofi, should we learn a little bit of the next Mishnah? Mm-hmm. So now we're going to look at people who are disqualified from, I think, from being judges or from being witnesses?
Both.
Judges or witnesses, right? So we said before in the previous Mishnah, Karov or Pasul, but we didn't say what the Pasul was. Karov, we know what Karov means, it's one of the relatives. But Pasul, why are you Pasul? We didn't learn that. At this point, we're just assuming there's a category called Pasul. But until you tell me what that means, how do I know? We learned in the previous sugya, Karov or Pasul, you can retract. But we never learn what the word Pasul, who says you're Pasul? How do I know there's such a thing as Pasul? We didn't learn which karovim either. Right. So here we're learning which ones are the pasul that we're talking about. So what's who are pasul? Elohem are pasulim. These are the ones that are pasul. Hamasachek ukubia. Someone who plays with dice. Right? That's a gambler. Not only dice, even cards. Cards. Or even electronic images on a computer screen.
Poker.
Right? Poker. Casino.com and all that other, right? for money. Games for money. Games for money. Games for money. So if you're a gambler, you're not allowed to be a judge. We're going to see later on. We're going to explain a bit why. Why? What's wrong with that? Either judge or witnesses. Or witnesses. Hamalve beribit. Person who in Malve is a lender on ribbit.
Charges interest.
Ribbit is a frog. No, it's not. Ribbit is someone who charges interest. Ribbit. Right? If you lend, you're allowed to lend to non-Jews, only Jews. Right? You're allowed to lend to non-Jews on interest. That's perfectly allowed. It's very commendable. It's a good way to make your money. But not to Jews. Right? It's also asor. Right? There's nothing asor in being a gambler. You're just an ineligible witness. You didn't break any there's no law in the Torah that says you're not allowed to play cards for money. There's no avera. But you're not allowed to be a judge or witness. Why is it not an avera? Because there's no law in the Torah that says you're not allowed to do it. Unless the Torah says it's an avera. Or Tov could be rabbinically avera. But ribbit is an avera. It's a big one. There's a lot of averas, and it's a very complicated section to prove it. Tov, next, mafrichei yonim, pigeon flyers. What's that mean? A pigeon flyer. So the Gemara is going to tell us what that is. But basically, pigeon flyers, I think, Bli Neder, if I can remember correctly, are
they're
those gamblers. Who...
They're like chicken fighters or greyhound fighters, greyhound racers, or even people betting on football or soccer.
No, that's gambling, but not to pigeons.
Because what they would do is they'd race pigeons.
For money.
For money. Just like racing greyhounds. For money, because you're relying on something else rather than your own skill.
I think that's not the case here. I think there's a different case here that we're talking about. You're right, those who raise pigeons for money, but they're considered to be gamblers. People who are considered pigeon flyers, they have a different problem. Their problem is that they steal other people's pigeons.
No, but that's something else. That is a pigeon decoyer.
Yeah, no, but it's the same thing.
No, the pigeon flyers are, it's on 25A3.
Okay, you're right, it's one opinion. There's two opinions. One is that it's those who are pigeon decoys, who steal other people's pigeons. And the other one is that they raise pigeons. And it's like, the Gemara asks, if you take opinion number two, you say it's the people who are racing each other, then it's the same as a gambler. So the Gemara then says, well, it's not, it's slightly different, because one's based on skill and one's not based on skill.
One's based on your own skill, the other one is based on someone else's skill.
Right, so there's a
and then there's another dispute on whether you're using what they call clackers, which are noisemakers, to motivate the pigeons. And they're saying that one person has more skill in that and is relying on that rather than the skills of the pigeon.
Okay.
And that is on... where is
25, B1. Right, so you're right. But so, but it comes down to there's two types. There's a machloket in the Gemara as to which one we're talking about. We don't know. There's two opinions.
Right.
One says it's the decoyers, though, who try and get other people's pigeons to come into their nest. And the other one says, no, pigeon flyers are just people who race pigeons. And it's a bit like gambling, and we look over there why it's slightly different with the clackers and the skill and all.
Whereas the first one, the pigeon decoyers, was more of dealing with, what's the word, not shalom by it. It has to do with peace and community.
Theft.
Theft, yeah.
Theft, a case of theft. Yeah. Sofri Shviat, they're also forbidden, right? No selling anything from the garden
during the son's year.
Next year.
3 weeks.
In 3 weeks, time, right?
Or less.
If you try and sell the apple from your tree to an unsuspecting kid in the neighborhood, 5 shekels, you are now disqualified from being a judge or witness. Maybe you have to do it habitually. I don't know if it's a one-off. Usually these things are habitual. But let's say, right, you did that. So, Sofri Shviat. Don't know. It's not clear. So, people who sell Shviat, they're also disqualified from being a judge. One common theme that goes through all of them, depending on which opinion we're saying, but the common theme is that they're all akin to theft. They all have a remez of theft. Right? The gambling is like theft because neither party really wants to lose. Neither party, a person who's gambling, doesn't really expect to lose. And he doesn't really therefore make an agreement. We say that his agreement is not binding. A gambling agreement is not binding. It's called an asmachta. We even have this law that's brought down today. I don't know about American law, but certainly in English law. In English law, even today, there is a bizarre loophole in contract law that every single case of a contract or a sale or a shop or goods or services 100% binding except for gambling. So whilst you can go into any store in the high street and if you pay money and you don't get what you paid for, you can it's a breach of contract. If you happen to walk into the UK, they call them bookmakers, I know what do they call them?
Well, they have lottery in California.
And then you have a gambling shop, or what they call that in the US? You have a place where you can bet on the horses? Where you can bet money on races and horses and whatever?
Only at the track.
Only at the track. But in the UK, you can go into a shop in the high street. It's called the bookmaker. You can go and you can go in. You have to be, you should be over 16, right? But you can go in, and you can bet on anything from the football to the horses to the races to the dogs to whatever. But there's a quirk in English law where it says that agreement and the money you gave over, it's not binding. There's only one place that can come from. Here. Right, the Torah says that gambling is not a binding contract, it's only a smachta. Because neither party really is committed to the agreement. There's no kinyan dat, there's no gemar kinyan. It actually, I actually want to give you the money. If I pay to you, if I say to you, I want you to wash my car. So, Tav, unless I'm wacko, I actually think that you're going to wash my car, I'm going to pay you. I can't get out of that. But if I say to you, I bet you can't run to the end of the road and back in 5 minutes, or whatever it is. I have no doubt that that's actually that I'm going to hold to. It's not real. I don't actually commit to it. So therefore, it's an asmachta. It's not binding. And therefore, it has a repercussion that anyone who regularly habituates to take money from other people is akin to theft. It's not actually theft. There's nothing, there's no law. You can't get your money back. You can't, right? But it's like theft because he never really wanted to give it to me. If I'm playing cards, and apparently there's a game called poker that I may or may not have played in my time, right? Where a person bets 2 shekel and the other one person bets 3 shekel. And he says, no 4, no 5, no 6. And then he loses. He's like, oh. He never really wanted to give me money. I was only trying to win the game, but I never really wanted to give you my money. You're right, you took the money at the end of the day, but I'm very upset that you took it. I'm not happy. I never actually told that was well done, shake hands, you know, you earned it, well done. You just took my money. But I'm not happy about it. I never really let it go. Yeah, why? Because
they're willing to risk, they're willing to gamble.
So here they have a their
desire for money.
So it depends which shita. Here in all of them, there's one shita is that there's a connection of theft. Theft runs through all of them. So even in gambling, what's the connection of theft in gambling? It's a remes. It's not like complete. Is that when I take the money from someone else, it's like theft because he never really wanted to give it to me. It's like theft. It's not theft, and there's no law. There's no avero of theft, and you can't make a claim against him.
But also there's another.
But the fact that I'm taking money off people who don't want to give it to me has a taste of theft in it.
The other argument is that they believe that they aren't going to lose because they think that their skill or the pigeon's skill.
Everybody thinks they're going to win. Nobody gambles when they think they're going to lose. So everybody thinks that they're not going to have to give up their money. Otherwise, if I thought when I go into a contract, I know that the purpose of this contract is for me to give my money, right? If I say I'm going to pay you for whatever, I'm going to pay you. I go into it with the opinion that I'm now about to give you my money. But when I go into a gambling contract, I go now into it with the opinion that I'm going to get my money and your money. I don't go into it thinking I'm going to give you my money now.
I think in the dominant, when I know the judge is coming, so I put some 100 shekels out and 200 shekels, you will take it.
But maybe that.
Because the judge has to be clean, understand? So he's always. When one from the guys
gives
some money, he takes all the people. Because he's not the judge. All these are maybe indications of people who are willing to take bribes.
So they could be willing to take bribes because they take theft, because they have a tan for theft, that they could take bribes. Maybe. Yeah. Kind of under anon. Okay, that's kind of fine.
I was once